welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab at our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning. Welcome to our worship. For those listening on the radio, we are following Divine Service Setting 3, beginning on page 184 of the hymnal. Our opening hymn is 797, Praise the Almighty. Hymn of the Day, 782, Gracious God, You Send Great Blessings. Distribution Hymns, 611, Chief of Sinners, Though I Be. 732, All Depends on Our Possessing. 543, What Wondrous Love Is This? And then our closing hymn, 789, Praise and Thanksgiving. Couple of announcements. Tuesday night, the Board of Education, Youth and Christian Education is meeting. We'll be watching the Ministry Safe video. And this is for anybody who's welcome to watch with us. This is through the district. This is to just prevent any kind of abuse that might occur, to be alert to it and keep our children safe. So anybody interested in teaching would be good to watch this. So Tuesday night. There will not be an elders meeting. It's listed, but we will not be meeting Thursday. So elders, you're off the hook this week. And then for prayers, tragically, we're going to be including the family of Michael Moore. Michael is Marty Swearingen's oldest son, and he died unexpectedly. So we'll include the family of Michael Moore in our prayers. Well, let's begin with our opening hymn, 797, Praise the Almighty.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And
we allow time of silence to reflect on God's word and for self-examination. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Return to the yellow insert and sing together the introit.
Thank you. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or who can't have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. this also is vanity and a striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord. We turn to the yellow insert and sing together the gradual. Epistle is from Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" He said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Some of you may be wondering if the parable in today's gospel reading pertains to you. You may not consider yourself rich in this world or in a position to be acquiring great wealth. You may identify more readily with the Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes. That you understand. You understand what the preacher is saying. Vanity, vanities, all is vanity, right? It's empty, meaningless, this life, things that you strive for. You toil under the sun and you wonder what you have to show for it. You have some things, you know, some possessions that you've worked hard for, but you realize
they're not going to last. And well, you realize that your life is brief in the context of history, not to mention the context of eternity. Like all those who've gone before us. You can think about how much you know about your great-grandparents to give you a sense of how much your great-grandchildren might know about you. Well, these two texts are connected. We're going to focus on the gospel lesson. The rich man in the parable seems to be building a nest egg and looking forward to living securely for a while off of his savings. Then God calls him a fool. If you, especially those who are retired, elderly, if you've stored up riches and you're relying on this to pay your bills, you may wonder if God considers you a fool. One day, all of you, me included, your soul will be required of you. Your soul will depart from your earthly body and remain separated until the Lord returns on the last day, the day of judgment. And you will have to give an account to God. But are you a fool if you anticipate living a little longer and living off the savings that you have? Jesus says that the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God is a fool. Like the rich man in the parable. So what does it mean to be rich toward God? The reality is that we and all that we have are from God. And we have the freedom and the privilege and the opportunity to do whatever we want with our lives and the many gifts that we are given as long as it's okay with God. If he doesn't approve, well, he has the right to take back whatever he wants. It's his. The gospel text begins with an interruption. Jesus was teaching the crowds, and a man calls out for Jesus, who's in a position as a rabbi, to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. The man simply wants what's his. He wants justice. But Jesus doesn't sympathize. He answers bluntly, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" While problems like this were often brought to respected rabbis, this was not Jesus' role, nor was it his interest. Jesus wasn't interested in material arbitration that would not resolve the real problem. There was a broken relationship between the brothers. The man wanted the broken relationship finalized by separating him from his brother. But Jesus didn't come to divide, he came to reconcile. And he addressed the real problem. The man's problem would not be solved by receiving the inheritance from his brother. It was a matter of the heart, not possessions. He told the man, "Take care and be a guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Jesus wants the man to look to himself first. The man is seeking a better life through possessions, but the abundant life that the man desires does not come from wealth or material goods. The text and the parable that Jesus tells is meant for you as well as for the man seeking his brother's inheritance. This parable, you have a man who's well off. He's been blessed. You know, the Lord is blessing him materially with abundant crops, and so he's going to store up all this extra crops. This is all from God. It's not from his human effort. The man has more than enough already, but he's given even more. More than he needs. His problem then is what to do with the unearned surplus. So he has a debate with himself. He has no one to talk to. This is significant for those listening at the time, the audience of that first century Mideastern culture. There's no one he trusts, no friends to exchange ideas with. The only question is how to preserve for himself. He's self-indulgent. He alone will consume these gifts from God. My crops, my barns, my goods, my soul. His plan for the future is a pitiful speech. This wealthy, self-confident man has arrived, and he needs an audience, but there's no family, there's no friends, there's no servants, there's no village elders, not even any fellow landowners to rejoice with. They said the Mideastern culture, they'd always have community around them. But this man can only address himself. He's been living for himself. This rich man believes he will only enjoy, but he will enjoy all aspects of life. And God speaks, he says, fool. And this is a strong word. It means without mind, without spirit, without emotions. Your soul is required of you. The Greek understanding of this work, this Greek word was commonly used, this is required. It's same kind of word that we used to be returning of a loan. His soul was on a loan. And now God, the owner, wants it back. So not only does this man die, but he's lonely and friendless. And this is an open-ended parable left for us to consider, right? What can we consider to be our own, you know? What can we say, this is mine? Before God, we have no rights or no demands outside of Christ. In Christ, however, we already have the abundant life. This is the life that Christ has purchased for you. He gave his life so that you may have life and have it abundantly in him. The life he's given you in your baptism. And to be rich toward God is simply to believe that God is the giver of all things, including life and salvation. To fear, love, and trust him. Give him thanks, praise, honor. And God has given us eternity and the treasures of heaven through Jesus Christ. We don't deserve this. We didn't earn this. Jesus acquired this for you by his death on the cross, and Jesus paid for your life by his shed blood. He gave you all the inheritance of heaven that only he had the rights to. He gives it to you. And he gives you this now. He doesn't require any payment. But he doesn't want you to be a fool. From today's Old Testament reading, for to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. Because of your baptism into Christ, you know that God is pleased with you. Wisdom, knowledge, joy, they're included in this abundant life that's found in Christ. This abundant life is yours now in Jesus. Today's epistle says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. In Christ, you don't have to be concerned with accumulating earthly wealth or possessions. You have the riches of heaven given to you by Christ. Those are yours. He's earned them through his sacrificial life, his death on the cross. So you are rich in God, and your treasures are laid up in heaven. In your baptism, that selfish you, the self-centered you, the fool, has been put to death. You are raised with Christ to live with him and to live for him. Your life, your eternal life, is secure in him. It's purchased by his blood. Your life is of immeasurable value. It's far from meaningless, far from empty. This is why in the epistle, Paul says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. We are to set our minds on Christ. We're with him. We've been raised with him. And in Christ, your life now has eternal significance, especially to the people around you. Jesus wants them to know him and trust in him and to rejoice with him in eternity with all the saints. And so your life is hidden in Christ. It's what you do, what you say matters to the people around you so that they may know him, believe in him, be saved by grace. No matter how insignificant to the world a person may seem in this life, those who die in Christ will be welcomed into his kingdom to share in his inheritance, the treasures laid up in heaven, and rejoice with all the saints forever. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Thank you.
us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For mindset on things above where Christ is seated, that God, our Creator and Redeemer, would renew us more and more in his divine image, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that the Lord would give her honorable and noble men for the office of holy ministry, and gracious and devoted men and women commissioned for the teaching arts and works of charity within his church, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For strong trust in God's fatherly care, that our hearts would be defended from focusing on worldly wealth and our families from the strife that flows from the love of money, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our protection and the protection of our neighbors from those who seek to do harm, that the Lord would restrain those who senselessly commit acts of violence and keep in peace and safety those who live and work in places of danger, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the suffering, the dying, and the grieving, especially the family of Michael Moore, Bob, Gabby, Vicky, Fred, Anita, Dwayne, Dan, Joanne, Lois, Louis, Mary, Harold, Joan, Linda, Marlis, Tim, Rick, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, Kathy, Doris, Matthew, Mark, Erno, Jeff, and Ethel, that they would be sustained in the truth, that their lives are even now hidden with Christ in God, and that when he appears, they will also appear with him in glory. And for compassionate and skillful doctors and nurses, that suffering may be alleviated and minds and bodies returned to health, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For hearts that treasure the divine gift of Christ's very body and blood, that we may be protected thereby from the love of worldly riches, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For holy wisdom to see through the illusions of this world, that being tempted by no temporary pleasures, we would arrive at the salvation promised to those who trust in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, because we do not know what we need or how to ask, lead us by your Spirit to trust in your wisdom and to have confidence in your grace for this life and even forevermore. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your promises through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
For your news, weather, sports, and the latest throughout the Chippewa Valley, check out 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap is where Chippewa Valley relies on the latest information to stay informed and up to date on what's happening in our area. For news, weather, and sports, 24 hours a day, rely on 93.5 The Tap.
CFW.